Observers say South Africa is one of the countries with the highest burden of TB. The World Health Organization estimates that there were 454,000 cases of active TB in 2015 in South Africa, which means approximately 0.8% of the population of about 50 million develop active tuberculosis disease each year. On the program today, we will discuss tuberculosis with an emphasis on South Africa. Last month in New York, I caught up with Miss South Africa 2018, Tamarine Green, during the United Nations General Assembly. Before being elected Miss South Africa, Tamarine suffered from tuberculosis. She now uses her platform as a beauty pageant to raise awareness about TB. I asked Tamarine, how did she find out she was suffering from TB? Take a listen.
In 2015 is when I was diagnosed. I basically presented with enlarged lymph nodes in the neck. I didn't have the usual symptoms of coughing and losing weight, and I just had this lump in my neck, and I told myself, go to the doctor. And being a medical student, they automatically ask you the questions with regards to TB, because in the medical field it's hazardous, and TB is one of those things that a lot of doctors get, a lot of people in the medical field do get. So they said no, they had to test me for it because it could possibly be that it's one of the signs of TB. I went through a number of tests for it, the last one being they actually had to surgically remove it and send it off for a biopsy, and then it came back that I had TB. But most of my TB was in my lymph nodes. It wasn't in the lungs, and that's why I wasn't coughing. And then immediately I started treatment. I started with on the rifle for treatment, and I told myself, okay, I know what it is. Let's tackle this. Let's do it. Started my treatment, but as I told everyone earlier, I didn't want to tell anyone about it. I thought people would treat me differently. And I think it's because even though I'm studying medicine, I thought I would be able to handle it better because I'm informed, I'm educated. Yes. But I think, you know, also just treating the patients and hearing patients' stories of how they are treated different by their families, how they are treated different in the workplace, I assumed I would be treated the same. I thought the university would tell me I can't continue my studies, even though I wasn't infectious because I wasn't coughing. So I kept it from everyone. And then about 2 months in, got a little bit tougher because my surgical wound got infected by a different bacteria. So I had to go on antibiotics as well. So basically I was going on antibiotics, TB treatment every day. Every third day I was having this drained, going to lectures. And then one day I just, you know, I couldn't anymore. I was sitting in a lecture and I told them, there's so much pain, there's so much discomfort, I can't move my neck. And I spoke to the lecturer at my university, and she told me, Tamarine, why didn't you tell us? Like, we're here to help you. And then the university took over all my treatment. They referred me to a doctor there who treated me for free because it's public sector. So the public hospital really helped me. And then in my fourth month is when I started vomiting, nauseous, losing weight. And that's when I had the drug-induced hepatitis. So it's a side effect of the TB medication. It's just one of those things. Some people get it, some people don't. And then I had to take time off of my studies, postpone my exam. So it was a month where I had to go off of medication and they had to readjust my medication. So that month was probably the most dramatic. I even had days of delirium, like when I was delirious, I didn't know where I was restless, I was vomiting, I was starving. It was just a whole lot of things, but I think I've always been a strong woman, I've always been an independent woman. I wanted to deal with it myself. I told myself, I'll push through this, it's okay. And it's probably been the most vulnerable states of my life, being sick with TB, because you need to ask people for help, you can't do it yourself.
Yeah.
And that was new to me. I hated being vulnerable and having to ask people for help, but I learned so much about through that illness. It taught me it's okay, you're not weak if you have to ask for help. And then I eventually got back in the treatment, finished the treatment, and was cured. And I just went on with my life. And I told myself I'll never talk about it again until this year when I won Miss South Africa and they asked me, what campaign do you want to launch or what do you want to focus on this year? My heart just, TB just kept coming up in my head. It was like, Tamarine, this is a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. Being Miss South Africa is allowing your country, allowing the world to know who you are and why you are the way you are, what you have experienced, and you can help so many people. And that is exactly why I entered Miss South Africa. I wanted to make a relevant change in my country. And this is how relevant is TB? It's insane.
Yes.
And my organization was, they were on board, they've been supportive, and yeah, now I'm here, I'm invited to come and speak at the, you know, amongst ministers, amongst where my voice can be heard, and I think that it's unbelievable.
So what did you find maybe surprising or shocking as a patient? I mean, it's one thing to be in the medical field as a provider, as a student.
Yes.
It's another thing to be a patient. And you knew about TB before because South Africa is a, you know, is a country where there's a high rate of TB because of the HIV infection. But your experience as a patient, what did you find surprising, shocking?
It's just, you're kind of helpless. Like you just need to follow instructions. Whatever the doctor says, you have to believe because they are the person, they're the professional. And when I'm on the other side, when I'm the medical student giving advice, you don't really understand it until you are the patient, what they are going through. Because adherence, sticking to this medication every day for 6 months. And I'm preaching this to all my patients every time I see them. But when I was in this situation, it's so difficult. The whole experience made me a more empathetic doctor.
Mm.
It helped me to see the patient for who they are and understand this is more difficult than just having one consultation and telling them what they need to do. TB is something amongst a whole lot of other diseases where there has to be a constant interaction with the doctor. You can't just come in, get the diagnosis, use your treatment, go home. You need to check up on the patient because there's so many other factors to consider.
So then now you used it as a platform, as a, you know, beauty pageant. What has it been like, and sharing that message, first of all, how did people react? Because initially you didn't tell everybody.
I was very scared. I was very scared to start this campaign and actually tell people because, first of all, I was still scared of stigma. Being in a position that I am now, media can be very crazy. Media can change things, flip things. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was very glad I could tell my story myself. So the first thing I was scared of is all those other family members and other friends that I've never told. Now they're going to know.
Yeah.
And when I was ill and they'd ask me where I'm going, I wouldn't tell them. So, I was lying to people. I was keeping things from people. And that's not great. So that was the first thing. Second thing is, as I said, stigma. Now I'm going to be telling my story. How are people going to react? Are they going to treat me differently? If I go to my next fundraising event where I have to speak, are people not going to want to sit next to me? Because there are still those misconceptions.
Yes. Did you experience stigma?
So, surprisingly, not at all.
Do you think it's because of your platform, because of who you are? What about the average patient?
That's the thing. I think because of the way I told the story and because my whole campaign is break the stigma, people don't do that to me. But I want them, I want every patient needs to be treated the same, regardless of who they are. And I think being Miss South Africa and actually saying I had TB, it's already breaking that stigma. And 2 days before the campaign, I was still deciding, am I ready for this? Because emotionally, I was only dealing with it now. I haven't spoken about it for 3 years. And then what happened is I was competing for Miss SA and we were in the top 12 and there was one specific contestant. We were spending like 2 months together already in this competition. And one day I just spoke about my story. And no one knew I had TB and it was so emotional. I was crying. And this specific girl, I was very close to her. Immediately after that, she went to the organization and she said, please take me to the hospital, like, please get me tested. I've been spending so much time with her. What do you think, I have TB? And I didn't know that until 2 days before I wanted to launch my campaign. So because I was like, I was struggling. I was telling the organization, will this help people? Will this? And they brought up this example because they kept it from me. They didn't want to tell me. And that night I called this girl and I asked her, and I was like, why did you react that way? Please tell me. I need to understand. And she told me, Tamron, I was not educated. I didn't know what TB was. I freaked out because I wasn't educated. And what we did in that moment is they told me, go on your phone, Google what is TB. That's exactly what she did. And she was like, oh, okay. When you finish the treatment, you're cured.
Yes.
And she didn't want to tell me because she didn't want to hurt me because she's actually a friend of mine. And I told her, you know what? That is the motivation. That's the cherry on the top I needed. Because I could get one person to read up on TB. And now the next person she meets, she won't treat that person the same way.
Yes.
So that's what I'm hoping to do with as many people as I can.
So tell us a little bit about your campaign. How is it going?
So the response has been amazing. There are so many people who have had TB, have TB, who have shared their stories with me, are sharing it on social media, and it gives me so much, just so much joy to see that people are okay talking about it and they're not scared. And so that's the first thing, great response. The whole focus is breaking the stigma, and I'm trying to do that by attending meetings such as these. And as I said, conveying what is being discussed here to the people on my platforms. Because trust me, it's not a platform where they talk about things like this. And if I can have those 90,000 followers on Instagram see TB in a beauty queen can also have TB, like, what is this? It's it will create an impact. Even yes. If it's a few lives that I've touched, it will, and that's what the whole goal is. So I would love to take this to an international platform, because I'm competing in Miss Universe at the end of this year. Miss Universe requires a project. I would love for this to become even bigger. That is another step in all of this.
Well, we wish you good luck. We know you're going to win Miss Universe. And final question. What is your message then? What is your message?
So my message is, for every person who has had TB or has TB, or has had anyone around them who's had TB, I want them to understand that they are not alone. And there are people out there who can help. We are here to help you. I want them to understand that it can be cured. As much, I know there's bad, there's stigma around it, but find that strength in you to just go out there and get tested. Go to the clinic. If you have the certain symptoms, please just go and get tested. We are working on the stigma. We are busy breaking it. That is my message. It can be cured.
Thank you so much, Miss South Africa.
That was Miss South Africa 2018, Tamarine Green. It is now time for a break. When we come back, my interview with Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, South Africa Minister of Health.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Welcome back to Health Chat. We continue to look at tuberculosis in South Africa. I spoke to Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, South African Minister of Health and Chair of the Stop TB Partnership. I asked him his assessment of the state of TB in his country.
Yes, we come from very far. As you know, there are two major issues which are the drivers of TB in South Africa. Firstly, we unfortunately had the biggest HIV/AIDS pandemic. And you are aware that some of the key populations for TB are people who are HIV positive. The second is that in the 80s, 80% of the gold of the world was obtained from South Africa. And we are paying very dearly for that. Some years later, we pay very dearly because when we check the districts, for instance, South Africa has got 52 districts. When you check the prevalence of TB, number one is in the major gold mining belt. Number two is in the major gold mining belt. Number four is also in the major gold mining belt, and you can go on and go on like that. So we come from very far. So, but since we started the world's biggest program on HIV and AIDS, the antiretroviral program, we have got 4.2 million people in South Africa who are on ARVs. We have seen dramatic drop in TB, as we see from the recent estimates released by the World Health Organization. We also have isoniazid prevention therapy, meaning for people who are HIV positive, who we believe, who we know are particularly vulnerable to TB, we've put them on a drug called isoniazid. And 50% of the people who are on isoniazid prevention therapy in the whole world are in South Africa. Thirdly, the new drug called bitaguline, which was spoken about in this summit a lot from Johnson & Johnson. 60% of all the people who are on that bitaguline, which is really a drug that has brought huge change. 60% of the global number of people on bitaguline are in South Africa. But also, when a new diagnostic tool came about, the Gene Expert, we were the first country to have a widespread availability of Gene Expert in all our laboratories. We also took it to correctional service facilities, because I forgot that apart from HIV AIDS and gold mining, some other vulnerable or key population are people in correctional service, which are commonly called jails. So we also have put some Gene Expert technology there. So we are trying our best, and we are starting to see the results.
So you're starting to see the result. When you look at where the situation is in terms of HIV and tuberculosis, do you see the pressing needs in addressing TB versus HIV, or is it a combination approach? Both conditions have to be addressed in order to see tangible result on both fronts.
Look, you can't defeat HIV without defeating TB. You can't defeat TB without defeating HIV. In fact, this is not a new question. Nelson Mandela said it long ago. In 2004, that's 14 years ago, in Thailand, when he was addressing the International AIDS Society Conference, he said the world has made defeating HIV AIDS their project, and this is a blessing, but TB remained largely ignored. And he warned that there's no way the world will be able to eradicate HIV AIDS if it continues to ignore TB. They must, you know, work together. So I've just informed you that we have largely reduced the incidences of TB and TB deaths by putting the world's biggest program on HIV and AIDS. And we also know that if we put the world's biggest program on treating TB, we are at the same time dealing with HIV and AIDS. Why? Because when people are HIV positive, their chances of contracting TB increases by 300%. And when people have got silicosis from gold mining, their chances increase by 600%. When people are both HIV positive and have got silicosis, their chances increase by 1,800%. Then comes non-communicable disease, which are also exploding, as you know. When people are diabetic, their chance of contracting TB increases by 500%. So there's an interrelationship between all these diseases, meaning you have got to tackle them together.
Yes. Now, when we talk about innovation in addressing tuberculosis, to your opinion, where do you see the most pressing needs? Where should we have more in terms of innovation? Are we looking into prevention, treatment? What is your take on
this? We're looking at a couple of things. Remember, TB has largely been ignored for many years because we thought we have defeated it. And that's why earlier on I said, because it's not the drama queen. It kills very silently, but kills huge numbers, which nobody can notice. And that's why it was largely ignored. I mean, look, with advances of technology, how do we explain the fact that for the past 50 years we've been diagnosed, I mean, we've been treating TB with the same drugs, no advances? Bitaguline and delaminate are just new. In the past 3 to 5 years. But for the past 50 years, we're using the same drugs. How do we explain that since 1800? 1800, you understand that? We've been using microscopy to diagnose TB. Gene expert only arrived in this decade. In South Africa, we introduced it in 2011, and it was a game changer in the way TB is diagnosed. But for all these many years, what was happening? So we need innovation for new diagnostic, innovations for new drugs. Above anything, everything else, we need innovation for a vaccine. Once we get a vaccine, it will be a game changer, because the present vaccine, BCG, have been there, if I'm not mistaken, for 90 years now. And it's starting not to be effective, by the way.
So when you look at the future for the fight against tuberculosis in South Africa, do you have a sense of optimism, and to what extent would you say
yes.
that?
Oh, yes. I have a sense of optimism because we are seeing results. Around about 2006, 70,000 people were dying of TB annually. The figure is down to 33,000 now. I mean, that's a dramatic drop. And the drop precipitated when we put up the world's biggest antiretroviral program. So we are seeing progress, actually. And we've got the right to be happy. We are also happy while we are still calling for new innovations. I've just told you about Bitagulin for multi-drug resistant TB. Before Bitagulin, people who are multi-drug resistant TB had to get an injection every single day for a period of 18 months. Just put yourself in their boots. Every day somebody has to poke your bum, and that must happen for 18 months. That's trauma. That's absolute trauma. Then secondly, apart from that trauma, people on that injection used to lose their hearing. So you have got to decide between your life and your hearing. You've got to trade your hearing for your life, obviously, because you like to live. But since the introduction of Bitagulin, all those two has been eliminated. People no longer have to be poked every day. The injection is no longer necessary. And people don't have to lose their hearing. So these are things that are bringing a lot of hope. And I've told you that 60% of the people on Bitagulin globally in South Africa. But also people who are HIV positive. They are put on what you call isoniazid preventative therapy, IPT. 50% of the people who are on that are also in South Africa, meaning people who are HIV positive, we are cutting that vulnerability from contracting TB. So all these advances makes one very happy.
Great. And finally, there are going to be a big high-level meeting on tuberculosis. What are your hopes in terms of outcomes from this?
Well, as I said, there are five asks which we have already agreed upon when we negotiated, that the heads of states must agree to those five asks. I won't be able to mention all of them. But the main one is that presently it is estimated that there are 10 million people who have got TB, but only 6 million are known globally and on treatment. The other 4 million are not known, but we know they are there. They are called the missing 4 million. Now, each country has got its own contribution to that missing 4 million. I know in my country, in South Africa, it's about 160,000 people who are missing. But we know that any person with TB has got a capacity or a potential to infect 15 others in their lifetime. Just multiply those figures of people who are not known, that they are busy infecting others. So the heads of state must help us to find the missing 4 million around the world and put them on treatment. Secondly, this issue of innovation, research and innovation, they must devise methods as heads of states. What are the new innovations? Where are the resources to come up with those new innovations? And understanding that one of the major innovations is vaccine. Can we find a vaccine for TB? That will be a game changer, absolute game changer.
Minister Motsoaledi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And that was Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, South African Minister of Health and Chair of the Stop TB Partnership. It's time for another break. We'll be right back.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
on Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Welcome back to Health Chat. We continue to look at tuberculosis. Voice of America reporter Carol Pearson has an overview on the global fight against TB.
Last year, tuberculosis killed more people than any other communicable disease, more than 1.3 million men, women, and children. Yet experts say countries are not providing enough money to contain TB. One UN official said an additional $13 billion per year is needed to get the disease under control. The World Health Organization estimates that 10 million people who become infected each year live mostly in poor countries with limited access to health care. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus told the Assembly that partnership is vital to end the disease. WHO plans to lead UN efforts to support governments and other partners to drive a faster response to TB. Most patients can be cured with a 6-month treatment program, but as world leaders told the Assembly, medication is expensive and the stigma associated with TB interferes with getting people screened and treated. Nandita Venkatesan, a young woman from India, told the gathering about the toll the disease has taken on her life. She got TB more than once, including a drug-resistant variety. Venkatesan said getting cured involved hospital stays, 6 surgeries, and negative reactions to the medicine that was supposed to cure her. Just days before the high-level meeting, the World Health Organization released its annual TB report. It found cases among all age groups and in all countries. 2/3 of the cases were in just 8 countries, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, China, Indonesia, the Philippines, South Africa, and Nigeria. The meeting ended with the adoption of a declaration intended to strengthen action and investments for ending TB and saving millions of lives. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
That's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. For more on today's topic, check us out online at facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. Log on to our website at voanews.com/health. Thanks to all of you for joining us today, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou, in Washington, with producer Bonsa Toufa. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall. Self-styled interim Venezuelan President Juan Guaido took to the streets of Caracas today in what seems an